Time, driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Hello and welcome into the game. I'm Tyler Dreiling, joined by Mitch Fortner. We have you today until 6 o'clock. We are hoping that K-State baseball can be played tonight, but as you just heard in that weather update from Mitch, could be a little bit shaky with all the rain coming into the area, but Wildcats supposed to take on West Virginia this weekend, and some potential history is on the line as K-State attempts to do that as well. We are going to talk to John Kurtz about that a little bit in the second hour, live from Toynton Family Stadium. In today's show, we get you prepped for the K-State spring game, which is tomorrow at 1 o'clock. What is important to watch and what is not important to watch? Spring games are always overanalyzed, but there are certain parts of it that I think will be pretty important for K-State tomorrow as they prepare for their upcoming season. Also, a special presentation that's going to be made sometime during that spring game. We're going to talk about that, and I think that it's a pretty cool story we have a chance to discuss. And Mitch reacts to the fantasy team that was kind of auto-drafted for him yesterday on the show, the spring game fantasy draft that we did yesterday. I like my chances, but Mitch, maybe he feels like he's got a pretty strong team. I don't know. We'll find out a little bit later in the show. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. And if you missed anything on the show today and want to check it out afterwards, go to the podcast page, newsradiokman.com, under the On Demand tab. Mitch, this is your first appearance and last appearance of the week.
Hello.
How's your week been? I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been busy. My girlfriend Savannah had her birthday.
Same day as yours,
mm-hmm. And we had a little outing in Kansas City. We just made it a 2-day thing, so didn't work at all yesterday. It was really nice to sleep in.
Yeah, well, we're going to compare our birthday celebrations later in this hour because, not your birthday, but Savannah's birthday.
Well, we were miles apart.
Yeah, we were in the same place, Kansas City, but you chose to go a different direction than go to the Royals game, so I think I have the upper hand there, but we'll compare those later in the show. We are going to start out by talking about the Royals, and a pretty different feeling now than 24 hours ago. We talked yesterday on the show about how the Royals were in a pretty good spot at 7-7. Nobody in the Central has really jumped out to a red-hot start. The best team in the Central was only one game ahead of the Royals, and everyone is in that mix right there at 500. And the starting pitching has just been so good so far this year for the Royals. Their starter ERA is now under 2 and under 0.5 over the last 7 or 8 games. So it's been great. And we were saying, well, as long as the offense comes around to some extent, then they'll be fine. But, man, 24 hours later, here we are. They got a great start from Danny Duffy last night. He went 7 1/3 innings, no runs. But the Royals offense did absolutely nothing for not just 9 innings, but 12 of them, or excuse me, 13 of them, I should say, as the Texas Rangers win on a walk-off 1-0 in 13 innings. And I was sitting there watching that game last night, and it had gotten to like the 11th or the 12th. And I just had this realization. I've spent more than three hours at that point, watching a 0-0 baseball game, and the only breaks from it were commercials for Skip Bayless and Undisputed. That's not a great way to spend 3 hours. And it was pretty painful to watch the Royals offense with what they were doing last night against a pitching staff that is not good. The starting pitcher that Texas had last night hasn't been good this year. Texas's bullpen ERA is like the third worst in baseball so far this year. And not only did the Royals not score, but they had very few really legitimate opportunities, and you never really had much faith that anyone was going to do anything. Even when the top of the order was up there, Alex Gordon, Lorenzo Cain, you're like, they're going to find a way to get out because that's just what's been going on, and it's been a rough go of it for the Royals offense so far this year. just 41 runs scored so far this year in their 15 games. That is last in baseball, actually by a pretty sizable margin. It's frustrating right now, but the Royals have made some pretty sizable moves today to try to jumpstart the offense.
Yeah, so for the Royals this season, only one game so far is scoring double-digit runs. And the only time this year Kansas City has looked extremely well on offense was really just two games against Oakland, maybe one against the LA Angels.
Yeah, that's about it.
A couple against the LA Angels. And just a handful of games that turn out to be wins, but Kansas City has lacked any kind of fire when it comes to close ball games. Kansas City has had one game where a close ball game really went their way. But as of right now, you kind of felt especially what happened not only yesterday, but maybe in that first game with San Francisco as well, who's had a lot of issues San Francisco has at scoring on offense, really getting the bats going. You had a feeling that some moves were going to be made. Royals fans were itching for moves to be made. I think they got their wish, and we'll see what happens. But you would have not imagined, I did not imagine, Kansas City's offense being this bad this early in the season, where they were spring training. I wasn't thrilled
right
by how the offense was going, but it didn't seem this bad.
Well, I was thinking about this yesterday. Raul Mondesi hit over 300 in spring training. And today, one of these big moves is he has been sent back to Omaha, which I think is the right move. At this point, I know the importance of getting him some major league at-bats to move him along with his development, but this season is too important. These early games against beatable teams are too important to keep throwing him out there. So it's Mondesi and Paulo Orlando that are on the way to Omaha, and they are bringing up Jorge Bonifacio to try to jumpstart the offense a little bit. Also, another Jorge Soler, tonight is starting his rehab assignment with the Omaha Storm Chasers as well. So you will have him coming up within the next week or so. Maybe that'll help. But both Mondesi and Paulo Orlando had been big-time liabilities for this lineup. Not that anyone's really crushing the ball right now, but it just did seem like the bottom third of the Royals lineup had absolutely no chance to get anything done.
I need to take a quick comment back. I was looking at the Rangers schedule when I said they'd only scored in one game more than 10 runs. That was the Rangers.
Yeah, the Royals
Kansas City
have not.
Hasn't done that.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to.
Everything else
get
was
into
correct.
That. I believe the Royals have scored 7 runs twice, and those are their high totals for runs this season. If
Houston and LA.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. So, yeah, it hasn't been good. And I'm not asking the Royals to score 7 runs or double-digit runs. I just want to know that the Royals have an offense that 90% of the time they're at least going to find a way to score, you know, at least 3 or 4, something like that. It doesn't have to be great. Again, if the Royals pitching staff is going to keep up with what it's been doing lately, and the bullpen has really been a big part of that as of late as well. After their terrible start, they've started to lock things down a little bit. You see Peter Moylan continue his excellent work, still has an ERA of 0.00. Mike Minor goes 3 innings last night and does not give up a hit in those 3 innings, just walked one guy, had a couple of strikeouts, so that was an excellent outing. Travis Wood is a little bit of an exception. I mean, he did give up the winning run last night. He pitched an inning and a third, and his ERA is actually our call numbers, 13.50 is Travis Wood's ERA right now. So that's not great, but the bullpen has been better, and then you combine that in with how great the starting pitching has been. It just makes it frustrating that you're sitting here at 7-8, because I believe the Royals team ERA is the second best in baseball right now, and if you have that, you should be better than 7-8, but the offense has been a big part of that. So the Royals have made adjustments in the areas that they actually can, because it's not like Eric Hosmer is a guy that you can send down to Omaha. That's not going to happen.
Right.
The places that they had some flexibility were with Raul Mondesi and Paulo Orlando. So you're going to bring in some new blood there. Jorge Soler, Jorge Bonifacio, both going to get involved here. We'll see what Whit Merrifield is able to contribute, but he was just crushing the ball down at Omaha before they called him up a few days ago. Someone's got to take the reins and, as Rex Hudler says, drive the bus. They just do not have that right now. They went 4-for-41 as a team last night, and that included yet another game, and it's happened so many times already this season that the Royals go 0-for with runners in scoring position. They were 0-for-7 in that category last night.
And let's hope that that old Raul Mondesi and Paulo Orlando take the message of being sent to Omaha like Matt Strom did. Because Matt was – I know Kansas City's pitching has – the bullpen wasn't very good at the beginning, but now they're starting to come around, and the starting pitching has been great. Well, Matt Strom was one of those exceptions that was not very good. He was bad.
And he was – I mean, he was so good last year for the Royals, and I think that a lot of people thought that he could step in and be – that lockdown, you know, seventh inning guy to fill the role it left, you know, when they had HDH, it was Herrera, Davis, Holland. And people thought this year, well, if Soria is going to have a bounce back year, you can have him in the eighth, and you could basically go with Strom, Soria, Herrera for the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. And it has not gone according to that plan at all. And one of the big problems, I think, and something that does bring the bullpen ERA up, a negative thing for Kansas City's bullpen, is if you are winning fewer games, that means that you are ahead in fewer games, which means that Kelvin Herrera is pitching in fewer games. And Kelvin Herrera is your best reliever, and he has not had the opportunity to get out there very often because the offense can't get the Royals a lead. And so that just is kind of a snowball effect that leads to the bullpen having worse numbers than it maybe should, but it's more representative of the offense than anything else. Well, we'll see if they can bounce back tonight. It's not as favorable of a pitching matchup tonight for the Royals as it was last night. That's one of the frustrating things about this. It's a four-game series at Globe Life Park in Arlington. Nate Karns makes the start tonight against Cole Hamels, 7:05 first pitch. Going to take our first break. When we come back, tomorrow will be very special for who I call the godmother of K-State football. And there was a great article written about her in the Topeka Capital Journal this morning. We'll talk about that coming up next on The Game.